posted one share.
Okay, I appreciate you stepping up. If anyone never took a packet from the box, please take one from here. Don't worry, I'm not looking. We'll put them back in the box. Okay. We were looking at the Brahma who discussed, if you recall, let's take a step back. Sif Gimel is a discussion of washing milchik and fleishik dishes together, or washing fleishik dishes in a milchik, quote-unquote, sink, basin. Milchik dish in a fleishik basin. The beginning was about a kli rishon mash, not something shchiyah in our times and places. And then the Ramah, towards the end, got into a discussion that's more relevant to our times and places, which is eroy from a parav kli, such as a faucet of a sink, onto fleishig and milchig dishes, right? That's what we left off. Let's just chazer the Ramah that we were discussing. It starts, remember we're in Sif Gimel, by the where the Shach Yud Zayin is. V'im iroy mikli rishon shel, rather by the Gruch of Beis. Avalim iroy mayim rotchim she'enon shel basar v'lo shel chalav. If you pour boiling water that are parith, such as our sinks, al kelim shabasr v'chol b'yachad, on milk and flesh kelim together in the sink, v'afilu shum adav b'hem, even if they have shmutz, they have dirt on them, they have food on them, hakol shari, it's all mutter. Why? De'ein iroy kikli rishon mama shigasr shar kelim shama'ar aleim yivlu zemizeh. Iroy is not as bad as a kli rishon. It doesn't make the kelim absorb from one another. The chiddush is not only does it make the tam go from one kli to another kli, it doesn't even make the tam go from the schmutz on one kli to the other kli, right? Even though there's leftover meat, the tam doesn't go from the leftover meat to the milchik kelim. Even though there's leftover cheese, it doesn't go from the leftover cheese to fleishik kelim. So, shot of the certainly pashut shot of the Ramah, which is what we'll start with. Is that he means what he says, and he says what he means, that Eroy is not had enough to cause a blia from one kli to another kli. The Shach here asks the question, the Ramah himself paskins, and this is, I think, where we left off, in Hilchas Meligas Tarnagolin, in Hilchas Damu Melicha, that if you pour boiling water straight onto a chicken, it takes the blood out and puts it back in, so it does a double transfer. Right? Meaning something that's not yet been salted is only usher if the blood comes out and goes back in. And that's what that boiling water does. So can't we see that Eroy is mavliya, takes out and puts in? The answer is, okay, that's talking about a chicken. Chickens are soft. Here we're talking about kalim. Kalim are hard. And therefore, says the Shach in interpreting the Ramah, what the Ramah means is that Eroy is not hot enough to be maflit umavliya into a kli. It can't take the time from something else and put it into a kli. If we recall the Ramah in Sadi Beis Sif Zayin, when a trickle of milk spilled onto a fleishik kli, and it was a problem, when boiling milk spilled onto a fleishik kli, sure, the boiling milk is already milchik. That's only a question of being mavliya, of getting the tam into a kli. That for sure can. But to take the tam out of something and put it into a kli, that much it can't do. So here we have the Ramah, says the Ramah, right? At least the way the Shach interprets the Ramah, says, Eroy, Eino, Maflit, Umavliya, Litokli. It can't get the taste of something else and put it into a kli. According to the Ramah, then, as long as we're pouring neutral water, yeah, if we're pouring treif water, it already has taste. It doesn't have to be maflit. If we're pouring milk, it already has taste. It doesn't have to be maflit. The Ramah admits, if you pour boiling milk onto a fleishik kli, it's treif. If you pour trace water onto a clay sheet, here we're talking about pouring neutral water, like the hot water tap. If you pour neutral water, it can't get the time out of something and put it in a clay. According to Ramah, you understand, at least certainly the way we're understanding it now, and Pashas, that our sinks, no matter how you understand the Ramah, the bottom line is going to be, there's really no kashra shilas involving our sinks if you just turn on the hot water faucet. Obviously, if you want to be perverse, you could take boiling ham and pour it into your sink and make problems. Right? If you want to be perverse, you could take boiling milk and pour it into your sink and make... What? But what did the Ramah say? The Ramah said even if there's the end on the plates, right? Shuman Dovet Bahem. Even if there's the end on your plates, even if you put milchi kalim and fleisha kalim, I'm sure the Ramah wouldn't tell you to do that lechatchila. Even if you have milchi and fleisha kalim with milchi and fleisha dirt, everything mixed in your sink, and you pour open the tap and out comes very, very hot boiling water, you put it all the way on the left, and it comes out very hot. Nonetheless, the Iroi cannot get the tam out of the end and put it into the kalim. And therefore, our sinks are beseder.
Even though by Shabbos,
Iroi Kli Rishon is Mevashel, apparently that's talking about food. Here we're talking about kalim, so therefore, it's a higher standard, and Iroi can't meet that standard.
Well, I thought that's not an issue, though, because even if it's Mevashel, the food on the thing, it's not going to go into the other utensil.
Correct, no, okay, what Zev meant is that the Achronim assume whatever the Mevashel can do a double transfer also.
Oh, okay.
The answer is that's something about food, not about Kalim. We never heard that Iroi's Mevashel Kalim in Hilchos Shabbos. I mean, it wasn't relevant. Okay, sorry. Okay. So, that's the Ramah. And of course, keep in mind the Ramah. What if taking your sink was treif? Again, how can you make your sink treif? By pouring boiling pork soup into it, right? Then you would make your sink treif, because it's already treif. It's just mavli into the sink. Even if your sink was treif, nothing would happen if you washed your dishes in a treif sink. Because, yeah, let's say a goy poured boiling lard into the sink. Now the sink's treif. Doesn't matter. When you wash your dishes there, the Iroi can't get the tam out of the sink and put it into your dishes. Right? So basically, again, one would ask whether this would be totally lachatchila in all circumstances, but basically, there's not a serious halachic problem with sinks the way we are reading this Ramah. The question becomes, maybe we'll go back a little and question whether this is the correct shot in the Ramah, but this is certainly the Pashup shot. Do we agree with Ramah? So here the Shach says, in Sifkat and Chaf, this very important long Shach, says the Shach, he doesn't like the Ramah, he doesn't agree with the Ramah. and why? So he explains. Achin linya dina nirek kmo shkatzva go shari durav shein marash shiv yotoros chadsham the nesru came the time of the urim vashel kmo sheis baru etc. In kein choshik yishol mamshav liya afilu bekli. He thinks it's not true. He thinks it's Iroi is mevashel. Then it can even get the taste out of something else and put it into a kli. The Shach disagrees. He thinks Iroi can get the taste out of food and put it into a kli. So, this is the Shach. The Shach says, Iroi maflit me ochel umavli al letoch kli. And he says likewise that when it came to the chickens, right, if you had unsalted chicken which is full of dam and you poured hot water directly on it and it was on a kli, not only would it trafe up the chicken by taking the blood in and putting it back into the chicken, it would even trafe up the kli. At least, you know, if you aimed, then you got the water right at where the chicken was sitting on the kli. So the Shach disagrees with this. However, what does the Shach continues? He says, without getting into all the details of the Shach, he says, that's from them getting it out of a food and putting it into a kli. So therefore, he says, if you had dirty fleshy and milk dishes in your sink, and you poured, open up the hot water tap, he thinks, no, the hot water that you're pouring would, if it landed on a piece of meat, would take the tom of the meat and put it into the milky kalim tray, take the tom of the cheese, put it into the fleshy kalim tray, against the Ramah. However, he says, he's not sure if there are limits to the powers of Iroi. What if you had, let's take an example, let's say you had a treif sink, and on the treif sink was sitting a kosher spoon, and the water landed where the kosher spoon is sitting on the treif sink. Can it get the treif out of the sink and put it into the spoon? Meaning, can it do two things, both of which are valve kalim? Get taste out of a kli and put it into a kli? That might already be a little harder to get taste out of a kli and put it into a kli. So therefore, he's not sure. That Bashach says he's not sure about. And Lamaisa, what does he say? In the end, V'yesh lahachmir b'makom shein hefzer beruva. The Shach says here, he's mesupak. Ha'im iroi maplit mikli umavliya letok kli. That he's not sure. Can it transfer taste from one kli to another? That's really hard. That might require really hot water to get taste from one kli to another kli. He's mesupak about that. Yeah, let's assume. And Pasak Lehachmir Chutz Mimakom or Ulehakel Bimakom Hefsid Meruba. Okay, even that he's Machmir. Maybe he can even get taste out of one Kli and put it into another Kli. Except perhaps the Meruba, he'll be Makel. Yes?
This is a little bit more of a methodological question, but did the Shach think that people were going to paskin like him over the Rama, even in a Bari B'Shema type of situation?
Yes. 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 He said he's right, the Rama's wrong. Nothing to talk about. Lemaisa, the Achronim paskin like the Shach here against the Rama. Even in the Bari B'Shem or something, say Vadai, etc. The Psak of the Achronim is like the Shach. That Iroi can even, as Zev pointed out, if in Hoshabtsa Iroi cooks, cooking is a very serious level of heat. So if it cooks, then it should be able to even do a double transfer, get paste out of one thing into another thing, and maybe even out of a Kli into a Kli. Let us just go through some of the cases the Shach discusses based on that. So, Lefi HaShach. Then what happens, says the Shach, if you pour boiling water on, let's say, Basar Naki Uklei Chalav Nikiyim. Doesn't matter if it's single or plural. Klei Basar Nikiyim and Klei Chalav Nikiyim, or as we would say, Kelim Basaryim. Right? Let's use modern Hebrew. What if you have the two Kalim? You have Kalim or Kli Bisari Naki or Kli Chalavi Naki. In this case, says the Shach, he would have to be Mekel. Why would he be Mekel? Because of the principle of not bar not. Say, after all, here we can rely a little on the Mechaber also. Remember, the Mechaber says this is called Naparnath Etera because it comes out of the Melchik Kli in its Etera, comes out of the Fleisha Kli in its Etera. And even though when you have both of them at the same time, Ashkenaz are normally Machber, in this case, when you just did Eroi, so therefore the Shach was willing to say, Mutter Midin Not Barnat. The water is a Not Barnat. He's willing to be Makel. Yes? The what? I'm talking that it's hot.
Hot
Iroi. Iroi. You're boiling boiling water. Iroi Al. He hasn't gotten to that. Okay, let's give it a second. Let's just go through some of his other examples. What if you have, this is of course, his argument with Rama. In this case, he says it's usher because Iroi can get the taste of the food into the kalim, so it gets the taste of the meat food into the milk kalim, the milk food into the meat kalim. What if you have kli bisari miluchlach ukli chalavinaki? What about in this case? So, which one is the shach for sure gonna answer?
The chalavin.
Exactly, because it gets from the pieces of meat. Kli Chalavi is asur because the Iver takes the taste of the leftover meat and puts it into Kli Chalavi. How about the Kli Basari? Here there's Rabbi Kiva Eger, which then Rav Moshe deals with, we're not getting into now. What do you say about the Kli Basari? The Kli Basari, what would asur the Kli Basari? Says, well, the dirt won't asur the Kli Basari because it's fleshic dirt. What would asur the Kli Basari? Well, once the milchik Kli got trade, maybe the milchik Kli could asur the fleshic Kli. So therefore he says, right, asur umutur bimakom hefzid meruba. What's his logic? His logic is there's no dirt to asur the fleshic Kli. It's only fleshic dirt. What asur the fleshic Kli would be the milchik Kli that became trade. Ah, a Kli asuring the Kli for Eroi? That he said, he's not sure he's making lakum hefzid meruba. And likewise, he says, what if you have Kli Isser Naki U Kli Heter? Then, what would Asur the Kli Heter? Only the Kli Isser. That would be taken from a Kli to a Kli. He also says, Asur Umutter Bimakom Hefzid Meruba. So far is the Shach without modern day applications. Remember, in the Shach days, they didn't have running water. They don't have archive sinks. They would just pour water over things. Now, what about sinks? So, let's apply this to sinks. Our sinks. So here's where Rav Moshe gets started in his famous tshuva. According to the Ramah, assuming that we only wash dishes in the sink, assuming we don't pour boiling treif in the sink, we don't pour boiling meat in the sink, we don't pour boiling milk in the sink, which the normal derech, right? And then we don't, I never seen anyone pour boiling milk into their sink. I never seen anyone pour boiling chicken soup into their sink. I've never seen anyone pour boiling treif into their sink. The only thing you pour in your sink is you open the hot water, or you strain pasta in your sink. And when you strain pasta in your sink, that's power of water. I guess if someone like maybe cooked cheese ravioli and kreplach or strained into the sink, but I don't know if people do that. Okay, let's assume you only use pour water over things in your sink. So what would happen? Says Rav Moshe, lefi the Ramah, your sink is parif. The sink is never bolea anything. Why? Because Eroi cannot get the taste out of your dishes, whether clean or dirty. It can't get the taste out of things and put it in your sink. Eroi doesn't take the taste of other things into your sink. That's what the Ramah would say. So Rav Moshe says, according to Ramah, all our sinks are really kosher, parav, nothing to talk about. Even if you run the hot water and there's meat in the sink, the Eroi can't get the taste of the meat into the sink. So the sink stays parav. What about according to the Shach? According to the Shach, the Eroi can get the taste of meat into the sink and can get the taste of milk into the sink. So then your sink could potentially be treif, right? So according to the Shach, so far, Lefi Shach, it seems that the sink is treif because the hot water gets the time of meat in the sink and the time of milk into the sink, and that makes the sink treif.
Assuming you use boiling water.
Assuming you use boiling water. Correct as all, assuming you use boiling water. Our sinks, assuming, I mean, it doesn't have to be boiling like 100 degrees, just as the Yatzel Espo. Assuming you use halachically hot water, which means you have some lettuce bowl, and you don't pour boiling milk or meat into the sink. Right? You only pour water in the sink on top of things.
Even if the sink became treif according to the Shach, would it ever be considered any kind of nucky, since the stuff that nothing's ever cooked in it?
Right, so let's assume you, I mean, let's better, let's assume, correct, exactly. It, meaning, it would have no treif, or let's say better, the sink would generally be considered nucky because you usually wash the, let's review for the thing we're talking about. We're talking about whether from Yitten can use this in the old days. Okay, let me give you a history lesson. When I grew up, everyone had one sink in their kitchen. There were probably one or two other people in the room who recall this. Right? There was none of these two sink things. This was before that everyone had customized kitchens and that all the Jews had enough money. It didn't take a lot of money, but you know, to make new kitchens with two sinks, everything according to standard. Everyone had one sink. That was a standard kitchen. You had one sink. The question is, could you use meat and milk in the same sink? So the assumption is that your sink is going to be nucky, because in the old days when Jews used to wash flashing and milk and dishes in the same sink, they would for sure clean the sink in between each time. So therefore, the sink was mamish nucky, so that doesn't come up. So the question is, you wash flashing dishes? Right, no one would put flashing and milk and dishes in the same time like they used to do. The question was just putting flashing dishes for lunch, washing them, wiping the sink clean, and then doing milking dishes for dinner, or vice versa. So, now what would happen, Ellie's hinting that, it seems that the sink is treif, and then once you have a treif sink, if you put your dishes in the sink, will the treif sink treif up your dishes? So, what would the psak be according to the shach?
Even if we're in the shach, no, because it's nucky, so nothing's gonna...
No, what did the shach paskin in that case? To take from a clean kli to a clean kli? Much of what have some meruba.
I thought it was not for not. I thought that was the first case.
No, not for not only applies to that tear if it's a flashing sink or a milking sink. It doesn't help if it's a treif sink. So it seems that it's treif, and therefore, you're not going to have the heter in this case, because this is not for not the hetera. If the sink is treif, then what would be? And the it would seem that the treif sink would make your dishes treif unless there is hefsid meruba. Right? Because once the sink is treif, now the shaila is, can the eroi get time out of the treif sink into your dishes? And once they got the time out of the treif sink, it did not burn out the isura. So then, the shach is also even machmor in that, unless there's hefsid meruba.
Does
it make a chiluk
if you have a sink divider in there?
No
inflation to separate in the sink? Does that do anything?
You mean if you cut your sink in half?
No. If you have...
Okay, hold that thought. Now, but first Rav Moshe makes it more complicated. So Rav Moshe says, it looks like, according to the Ramah, sinks are reseder. The only problem is none of them are thrown in pasul like the Ramah. According to the Shach, it looks like we're in trouble. Because first your sink becomes fleishik, then it becomes milchik, so it becomes treif. And once your sink becomes treif, now the eroi will get the tam out of the treif sink into your dishes and treif up your dishes. Unless there's hefsid meruba, but, I mean, you know, so maybe b'dieved, you could say you washed a lot of dishes, hefsid meruba, but certainly l'chachila, we have no right to get into that situation. So it seems like you're in trouble, except Rav Moshe pointed out a different shach. Says the shach is cut in yud ches. Because of the Torah's chata sham mishem israheter ha'aruch, the afilu b'ma'arvi klishal isra klishal heter, says the Torah's chata is kodin israheter ha'aruch, even if you pour treif from a treif kli, even if you pour treif water onto your kosher dishes, unless raka klisha bakilocha irei love, you only asher the first dish that it landed on. If you have a stack of dishes, like imagine a stack of pancakes, and you pour treif water and it lands on the first dish, then goes on to the second, then the third, then the fourth, it only asks where it lands. Eroi loses its power after it lands. That's what the shop says. After the Eroi lands, right, let's just draw a picture. I'm very bad at pictures, but we'll draw it anyway. If here's your... Now let's make a better one. Not like the House of Pancakes fancy advertising, like when we try to pile pancakes at home. Right, it's not a neat pile. Let's say I have all these kalim. And here I have treif water. And it's landing here, and then it goes on all the kalim, etc. We only ask for the top one where it landed. After it landed, it's already klisheni, it's not iwa means until it lands. Once it lands, that's already klisheni. Where it goes afterwards is not hot enough to ask or anything. Now, Rav Moshe, what's the shach saying? Shach is saying that where it lands, it's Eroi. After it lands and then goes someplace else, that's not even Eroi anymore, that's considered cold. That's considered klisheni. So this, what the Shach is saying, so cut in Yud Ches, this is considered Eroi. All the rest of them, it's considered klisheni. No, once it bounces off the Eroi, then it's not even Eroi anymore, it's klisheni. Now Rav Moshe makes one assumption in this Shach, which I'm not sure if it's Pashut. I'm not sure if it's Pashut, but let's grant Rav Moshe's assumption. What about this case? What if you would have one kli, and the water would land, and then on the same kli, it would go sideways from one side to the other? Like, would the Shach's kula even apply to, like, going sideways on one kli? The Shach for sure says when it lands on one kli and then bounces to a second kli, that's klisheni, that's already mutter. What if it lands on one kli and then goes to the side in this kli? Says Rav Moshe, this is the Shach. Says Rav Moshe, based on the Shach. Says Rav Moshe, based on the Shach, where it lands is called Eroi. Once it goes to the side, even in the same kli, that's not called Eroi anymore, it's called klisheni. It's only Eroi till it lands. At the moment it lands, that's called Eroi Mivashal Kedei Klipa. Once it already landed and then goes someplace else, then goes sideways or up or diagonal or whatever direction it goes, that lost its Eroi status, it is now cold water. Halakhli is considered klisheni, which is cold water. So says Rav Moshe. Is that Pashut? I'm not sure, but that's what Rav Moshe says. Now says Rav Moshe, now he comes up with his big kula when it comes to sinks. Says Rav Moshe, hold on a second. We just said sinks are okay according to the Rambah, but not according to the Shach. But hold on a second. Even according to the Shach, we now have something more complicated. That's why he says seems. But not so pashut, because the whole Shach only applies directly where it lands, not after it bounces and then starts traveling sideways, says Rav Moshe. So says Rav Moshe, this is Rav Moshe's chiddush. So far it's just been the Shach. I mean, and applying the Shach to modern day circumstances. Says Rav Moshe, hold on, even according to the Shach, it's not so pashut to Asher or sinks. Because the Shach only says Eroi has power where it lands, not where it lands and bounces, or where it lands and flows downstream. Therefore, what does Rav Moshe say? Not so pashut that our sink is treif. Why not so pashut that our sink is treif? He says, hold on a second. Let's imagine a sink. The hot water lands on the sink. Where it lands, it's Eroi. It has power to do blia. But where it lands and then bounces sideways, it has no power anymore. So it only has power exactly where it lands. So how could a sink be treif? So he says here, let's imagine here's our sink. And here's exactly where the water lands. You know, you could turn the thing, right? It can land in different places. Only over here does it have potential to have a blia. So how could a sink be milchek?
Blia from what?
Blia from, how could a sink be milchek? If, I'll tell you in a second, if there is a little piece of cheese here, where it lands, exactly where it lands, it will make the sink milchek. However,
why is that so?
Because where it lands, it's considered Eroi, and the Shach says Eroi can take the taste out of the cheese and put it into
why
the sink.
The whole sink?
Because once it starts flowing, it's no longer Eroi, it's klisheni now, and klisheni is not mavashel. So he says, once it flows sideways, it's cold. That's the chiddush of
it
the...
It doesn't make the whole thing
mavashel. So it doesn't, it only makes... So what would happen in this case? This, and let's say there's lots of other cheeses. Who knows how many cheeses there are? There's cheese here, and there's cheese here. What happens to the sink, says Rav Moshe? He says, this part of the sink is chalavi.
Why?
The rest of the sink is still parid. This part of the sink is chalavi, because where it landed, it has power to make a blia.
It landed on the cheese.
So
it's
a
sink. It's already.
No, because it lands only if it lands on the cheese and the sink simultaneously, meaning that the stream of water has a thickness, right? Like the stream of water could be this thick. So only if, you're right, when could it make the sink? If it bounces off cheese and lands on the sink, it won't make it milchik. When will it make the sink milchik? Let me draw it better. It will only make your sink milchik if, here's your sink, here's your cheese, and here is what he calls your shetach hakiluach, the area of the pouring, and here is the water. It lands on the cheese and the sink at the same time without bouncing. Then it'll make that spot milchik. So basically, only one spot can be milchik if it happens to land on cheese and sink in the same spot. Now, how could your sink become fleshik? Only if it happened to land on a piece of meat that was on that on a certain spot of the sink directly. Meaning, does your sink become milchik very often? No, one spot, once or twice a day, will become milchik. Does your sink become fleshik very often? No. One spot, once a day, might become fleshik. Here's the chaf of Rav Moshe. Does your sink become treif? In order for your sink to become treif, is it enough that it became milchik and then became fleshik? In order for it to become treif, what a condition would you have to add? A sink is only treif if it became milchik and fleshik? Almost. What's... how close together? Ben Yoma within 24 hours. Right? Any that's milchik and fleshik within 24 hours is treif. Because that's a good taste of meat and milk together. So what does Rav Moshe say? It's only treif if water lands directly on cheese and directly on meat on the same spot within 24 hours.
According to my motion, what's the difference if the sink is treif from that?
I will get to it. But first of all, he says, the sink is only treif if it lands on this spot with cheese. Now, if 6 hours later it lands on this spot with meat, it's not going to be treif. This part will be milchik, this part will be fleshik. Because once it goes sideways, it doesn't cause a bleed anymore. It has to land on this spot with cheese, and then within a day, land on the same spot with a piece of meat.
So there's only that spot still
is treif. And then only that spot is treif, correct. And then only that spot is treif, right. Meaning, a spot is only treif. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, it's, and therefore equals, Rav Moshe says, unlikely. Says it's unlikely any spot in your sink will ever be treif. Based on his chiddush, that according to the Shach, now I don't know if everyone agrees with the Shach, but he says we're dealing with the Shach, so let's go with the Shach. Based on the Shach, only where it directly lands is it called Iroi. So only if it directly lands on meat, it directly lands on milk within 24 hours in the same exact spot, will that spot be treif. So your sink's not very likely to be treif, says Rav Moshe.
According to the Shach, if you have a sink that where the drain's a little bit clogged or something, and water starts to fill up the whole bottom layer, let's say, and you still have the hot water pouring in, is that water that has hot water pouring into it considered Yerukli Rishon or Klisheni?
I think you would assume Klisheni. Once it starts filling up, that's in Klisheni.
So when the Shach is telling you to ask for the Yerukli Rishon, do you want Klisheni to fill the water?
Right. Right. And the Shach is clear later in Kafei that Klisheni doesn't make any blues into Kilos at all. Right. The Shach is very clear. For example, if you stir a Klisheni with a spoon, you stir coffee with milk with a fleshik spoon, it's in a Klisheni, no problem. Yeah.
According to the Shach, wouldn't be still a problem because you have the Gzeres Rabbanon, even Eino Ben Yomo?
Ah! The Gzeres Rabbanon is once it became treif, if we wait 24 hours, there's still Gzeres Rabbanon. But over here, if it never became treif, then there's no Gzeres in the first place. Ah! One spot might be fleshik, one spot might be milchik. That's no problem. When it lands on the milchik spot, it's not barnat de'etera. When it lands on the fleshik spot, it's not barnat de'etera. And remember, Moshe says, it's perfectly okay to cause an not barnat to go into kelim.
I'm confused. So let's say I use it for lunch today, I have dairy. And then tomorrow I want to use it for meat. So I'm not allowed to because of the gzera.
No, that means you're not allowed to put your meat in it that you plan to eat because of the gzera. Here, I'm just putting my meat kelim in it.
But the same chashash, no?
No, not the same chashash, because here's why not the same chashash. Very simple. Because if I actually put my meat that I plan to eat in it, that would be a chashash, because it's getting the taste straight from the kli. When I put other kalim in it, the taste only goes from the sink to the water to the other kli, which makes it already a three-step knot by then, and then that gzera doesn't apply.
Sorry, so that even though by Hilchos Shabbos Klisheni is Mevashel, the Shach says that we're not likely...
No, by Hilchos Shabbos Klisheni is also not Mevashel. By Hilchos Shabbos Klisheni is only Mevashel on very rare specific things that are called Kalei Bishel. Okay. You know, which are like 1% of things. It happens to be you don't know which 1%, so we're not for 99% of things. But that just happens to be the way it works out. That's not the actual theoretical thing. theoretical din is that klisheni is perfectly okay on Shabbos, except for a handful of things where it's usher. And we don't know where they are, so we're not tumacher, but not tumacher practically, but tumacher compared to the actual theoretical truth. But don't be fooled by practical Hilchos Shabbos. We're going to stick with theoretical Hilchos Shabbos. Now, says Rav Moshe, and then he says, of course, he adds, even if the sink is treif, what, even if the sink was treif, so what? Even if the sink was treif, what would happen? Let's say the water landed on your treif sink, and then flowed onto your kalim. Wouldn't make a difference, right? Even if the sink was treif, it would only, if you'll excuse my colloquialism, treif up your dishes, if what happened? If the water landed on your dishes and then fell in the sink, once it falls off your dish, it's cold. If the water landed on your sink and then flows to your dishes, once it starts flowing, it's already cold. It would only be a problem if the water landed directly on your sink and dish at the same time without flowing. Because once it flows sideways, it's usher, meaning what would be the only problem if here was your sink and here was your dish, and what's the only way it would be a problem? If it landed on your dish and then rolled off, no problem. It landed on your dish, that's fine. If it landed on your sink and then rolled sideways, no problem. Once it rolled sideways, it can't trace anything up. Only if the stream of the water happened to hit this borderline and hit both of them at the same time. Because then it's hitting them both at the same time in the same place. The stream lands dock at the border of your fork and the sink, and therefore hits both of them at the same time without needing to flow. Only that would be a problem, and even so, since it's going from a kli to a kli, it would be mutter ben makom hefsid meruba, meaning equals mutter al pi shuras hadin. Whatever is mutter makom hefsid meruba is actually mutter al pi din. We just try to be machmir. So even in that case, the Shach pointed out, going from a kli to a kli is mehefsim meruba, so it's unlikely your sink would ever become treif. Even if it was treif, it's unlikely the water would land on exactly the borderline of your kli and the sink and hit them both without flowing sideways. And even if that did happen, that would be mutter according to the Rambah, because it can't get the taste out of your sink into your dishes, and even the Shach would admit it's mutter from mehefsim meruba, meaning that it's really theoretically mutter when push comes to shove. So, this is not the whole Rav Moshe. This is the simplified Rav Moshe. It actually gets complicated. But I think that's good enough for now. Basically, based on this, says Rav Moshe that he thinks it's no problem to wash milk in plastic dishes, not chas v'shalom, like the case of Rambam, which Rambam never said you could do that with achila. Of course, no Orthodox rabbi ever said you could wash milk in plastic dishes at the same time you're saying. Probably not even a conservative rabbi said that. Yeah. He's talking about, no, first you wash fleishik dishes, then you clean the sink with a sponge, and then you wash milchik dishes, and then you clean with a sponge, and then you wash fleishik dishes at different times. Says Rav Moshe, he really thinks that at different times it's okay. And then adds Rav Moshe, this is all if you wash them on the sink. But he says, Kim Duma, that in our countries, no one, even in the old days when people had one sink, no one washed the milk and fleishik dishes in the same sink at different times. They all put them on a rack. You had a fleishik rack and you had a milkik rack. So if you have a fleishik rack and a milkik rack, he says, you know what, a bel nefesh maybe should be machmir and not use this kula to wash a mamish on the sink. But no one washes the sink anyway. We put the fleishik on a fleishik rack and the milkik on a milkik rack. Then what's the problem? Even a bal nefesh is mutter, says there's no need to be machmir whatsoever if you use separate racks, because, well, hold on, let me add an additional factor. Can I go back here? This isn't really true. Says the, based on the Prima Gadin, here asks a question. He says, let me ask Shmuley this question. If this really happens, how much of this sink would have the niflat, would the ear get the taste out of a kadeklipa? A kadeklipa of what? A kadeklipa of exactly where it lands. How big is a kadeklipa of exactly where the stream lands? Big or small?
Very small.
Very small. What do you think the proportion of the kadeklipa of where it lands compared to the water that's falling? Is the water that's falling more than 60 klipas or less than 60 klipas? More. So says the Prima God. Then the Prima God is the following question. He says, all these cases where you pour water, isn't the water you're pouring going to be more than 60 times the klipa where it lands anyway? And the Prima God says, yes, it will be mutter in most cases. So he adds, would be mutter, 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 and really would be mutter legamre because the water is 60 times the klipa of that spot of the sink. I don't know if it's 60 times the whole sink, but it's certainly 60 times the klipa of where it lands in the sink. So it says, Ramosha, you're really in good shape, even if you wash it on the sink itself. One second. Then he adds, but if you put it on racks, this is on the sink itself. So it says, Ramosha, this is basically conclusion, mutter to wash on the sink itself. But then he adds, no one does that. It's even more mutter to do what we do, said Ramosha in his days, which is to wash it on racks. Because if you wash it on racks, then if you think about it, let's make ourselves a little corner for washing on racks. Here's your sink. And remember, you have a separate rack for meat and for milk, right? Now, here's your rack. And here's your dish. So hold on a second. The water never goes to your sink and then back to the dish, right? Meaning, anyone familiar with a non-Toradic rule? A secular rule that tells us how things behave when you pour things and there's an up and a down. Which direction do they go? Anyone? Up or down?
Down.
What do we call that rule?
Gravity.
Gravity, very good. Okay, Torah Mada, you're a star. Torah, right? Even Moshe says, the water only goes down. So what happens? It lands on the dish. The water lands on the dish. And then it flows down to the sink. If it lands on the dish and then flows down to the sink, what's the problem? If it lands on the dish and then goes down to the sink, what's the problem? Even, we learned from Gavin Ramah, who said it's a problem pouring from flation dishes into milking dishes. Only said it makes the bottom one tray. Doesn't go up and affect the top. If the water goes from the dish onto the sink is not going to make the dish trafe. And likewise, this rack, meaning the bottom of the rack might get trafe, because that's like within touching the sink, but the top of the rack won't get trafe, because if it hits the top of the rack and then goes down, it won't affect the rack. So the top of the rack and the dishes will not get trafe. It says even if it lands on the sink and then bounces back to the dish, if it bounces back to the dish, then for sure we can be making it. Once it bounces all the way up, for sure that's already a hefsek in the Eroi, and that's not going to be enough to be avliyin to the kli. So Ramosh says if you put it on the rack, you are for sure okay. And even if someone says, what if sometimes by accident a spoon might fall through the rack and land on the sink? So Ramosh said if it lands on the sink, you're okay anyway. So it's not a big deal. I mean, you should try to keep it on the rack. But if something falls through the rack and lands on the sink, he also said that was mutter. He just says it's better to put it on a rack. So if you put it on a rack, the water goes from dish to sink and doesn't go back from the sink to the dish. So that's the famous psak of Rav Moshe. If you want to look at, I mean, this is based on a lot of halakhic assumptions, which we've, again, scratched the surface of. I'm not going to go into this, I'm not going to really get to the bottom of this Rav Moshe, because it's very, very difficult. If anyone has a good 2 weeks with nothing else to do, they should try to sink their teeth into this Rav Moshe and tease out all the assumptions. I'll just read the hashkafic part of Rav Moshe, which is very fascinating. Rav Moshe was not like all Gedolei Poskim, right? Rav Moshe didn't paskin something just because hashkafically he thought that was a nice thing to do, right? That's not the way Poskim work. However, The way poskim do work, the traditional way the poskim worked, is, as Rav Moshe says here in the beginning of this tshuva, he says, someone wrote to him, someone who I don't know exactly who he is, it was Chayes Kolshraga Ruben Halberstam, Ha'admor Mi Sishinov, the Sishinov of a Rebbe, who said, it should be a problem, you can't wash the milk and fleshy dish in the sink. So says Rav Moshe, Avol Basher Shu Tircha Gdola, it's very hard if you can't wash them in the same sink, if you have to use basins. And all the women who stuck washing the dishes will say, we made it very, made their lives very difficult. Therefore, Avar Ha'inyan Shalom Niftika Kiloch Lataritz Divra Vesino Armava Shafi Yisbarsha Nashi Shalom Shafar Avdi. I'll get into this so I'll explain the whole idea of Kiloach of Iroi according to Ramon, the Shach, and we'll see that it's right. Basically, what's Rav Moshe's Hashkafa, which is the traditional Hashkafa of Poskim, is that Chas V'Shalom, of course, just because it would make life difficult and the women would complain, doesn't mean you're going to make up halachas just to make people happy because of your Hashkafa agenda. That's called Reform Judaism. But what is traditional Orthodox Judaism? Is that Rav Moshe says, look, it's very hard if you have to wash dishes in basins and you can't put them in the sink with a rack like all of our wives, it's going to be difficult. Why should we make life so difficult for the women? It's not fair. And therefore, I'll look into the sukkah. And if it turns out it's mutter, it's mutter. If it turns out it's usser, it's usser. That is the way traditional posts can work. If you see that something's difficult and you really think that hashkafically it's not good to be too machmir, then you look at the sugya and you try to clarify the din and you see what you come out with. And that's what Rav Moshe did. He looked in the sugya, he clarified the din. He came out with the fact that it was okay. And then he was very happy. And again, it's an important point. If someone says, poskim don't try to have hashkafah reasons for being makel or machmer, they're wrong. Of course you have hashkafah and you want to be makel or be machmer based on your judgment of the situation. What's important is, then you don't just make something up. Then that's an incentive to look through the sugya. Or most things, you know what? If it wouldn't have been a big deal, I would have just said be machmer, what's the difference? If it wouldn't be hard for the women, I would say, why not be machmer? Why do I have to go through the whole sugya? But since it's difficult, I'll go through the whole sugya and see what the emes is. And if the emes is that it's mutter, then there's no need to be machmir if the emes is that it's mutter. Yes. Okay. A very different hashkafa comes out of, this is famous in the old days. I don't know who the big poskim are nowadays who discuss this. Maybe it's still, since two famous poskim discussed in the previous generations. I mean, this is a while ago. This Rav Moshe is, from Toshin Yud Ches. Okay, that's a bit before my time, 1958. In Toshin Yud Zayin, 57, the Minchas Yitzchak, who is Rav Yitzchak Yaakov Weiss, he was the big Dayan Weiss from England, who from Manchester, the Manchester Dayan, who made Aliyah, and I think he was a Dayan of the B'datz Eidah Haredes even. He made Aliyah, was a Dayan of the B'datz Eidah Haredes here. In 1957, Toshin Yud Zayin, he has a tshuva to the same Rabbi Cheskel Shraga Reuben Halberstam, who wrote to the Gedolei Ador, one side of the pond, the other side of the pond, and he paskin exactly the opposite. And I think since then, it's been over 50 years, but if Rav Moshe said one way and Mechilas Yisra said the other way, then that's good enough for everyone until then. And so until then, it's still famous as the Machlokes of Rav Moshe Feinstein and Dayan Yitzchak Weiss, and their names are associated. He's Machmir. Number one, again, it's really a halacha machlokes, but the hashkafa here is very different. What's the hashkafa here? In the beginning, it's a halachic machlokes. But then, you see the hashkafa is a little different. Like, for example, he says, let's see if I can find some of the places. He says, at a certain point, he says, well, he already got to a point where there's ain't chash. But even though there's no chash, the lot says gamri to make sure there's no chash, the dilma, etc., etc., yesh ladaktik, you could do a little more. And then he says, omna madayin, after he's gone, where there's, told you how to be maxed, there's no chash. And then he says, but still to get rid of a chash. And then he says, mikomakom yos tov, to be even better, me'anachon, you should do even better. And his hashkafa is a bit of a different, a more contemporary hashkafa than Ramosha's in the Velt. He says, no, I'll be malavid the emes. He taka thought the emes Ramosha was wrong. And then, just add on a couple of being careful a few steps more than necessary, just the yotzei mekol chashash, just to make sure, even if it is a bit of a tercha, to get rid of all chashash. What do I mean specifically? So, there's definitely a hashkafic difference between the perspective of Ramosha and the Minchas Yitzchak. which again, to anyone who's around at the time, or he knows a little Jewish history, is not surprising. His basic argument of Rav Moshe is, you can look it inside, he says, this Rama, we don't paskin like is wrong. He says, this Shach, we don't paskin like is wrong. We don't paskin like the Rama, we don't paskin like the Shach. There's no sudden lahakel. You can't say, well, it's much according to the Rama, it's much according to the Shach, maybe they're both right. He says, we don't paskin like either of these. Why? Because there's a lot of kashas in them. You want to see all the kashas, look in the Prima Gadim and the Shach, Sivkat and Yud Ches. Look, the Rav Moshe ben Kuznetsov, he rejects the Shach, he rejects the Rama. He says the Rama didn't even mean what the Shach said he meant. He gets into a little trouble. He basically says the Rama meant the same thing as the Shach, and they each argued on each other, so they each were mistaken what each of the other meant, and they each sosur each other elsewhere. So basically, he leaves them all in a big tzar chiyun. The Rama can't be true tzar chiyun what he meant, the Shach can't be true tzar chiyun what he meant, we can't then build kulas on Ramas and Shach that are very hard to figure out. But Moshe Shita was not. Something's very hard to figure out, you have to keep working for many pages till you lose everyone. And trying to figure out, except for the big Talmid Chachamim, and trying to figure out what they meant, even if it's very hard, even if there's only one possibility, you have to be Mechadish Kedushin to figure out what they meant, you have to find Pshat. Mincha Sichel says, no, if the Pshat is very difficult, then we just reject the Rama, reject the Shach, we have nothing to rely on, that's it. And therefore he says, the sink becomes treif, it's belayer from the meat from the milk, and if the sink is treif, then if you wash dishes in the sink, your dish will become treif, no kulas.
There's an interesting question there. I mean, a lot going on with the way you're framing that. Does that mean that Diane Weiss might also look at it the other way? In other words, if they were machmir and there were all these kashas and it was very difficult to understand, you would have to say, no, look, we have to reject
probably,
this.
Probably.
Whereas Moshe might say the other way. Probably. No,
I think his hashkaf is a little different here in that he never ends up with a pshat in the Shach and never ends up with a pshat in the Ramah. I know you have to read it inside to figure out exactly like how he gets into all the blind alleys and then closes them off. And it doesn't bother him to end up leaving everything with Tzarech Iyun. Rav Moshe says, I don't leave things with Tzarech Iyun. I think it's hard for the women. I'm not leaving any Tzarech Iyuns. I'll just do the Iyun. Meaning it's Tzarech Iyun, so I'll do the Iyun, come up with a conclusion. And whatever the conclusion is, I'll paskin based on it. Because that's what's logically necessary. He says, no, if there's too many kashas in Tzarech Iyuns and it's difficult shachs and difficult ramas, we can't rely on them. We just have to leave it with Tzarech Iyun and be machmir. And that's his shita. He's machmir, and therefore he says, the famous psak of the Michas Yitzchak, that Rav Moshe says you wash on racks, and the Michas Yitzchak says you wash in basins. Right? Famous psak of the Michas Yitzchak is you wash in basins. You have a milchic basin for the milchic dishes, a fleshic basin for the fleshic dishes, and then it's no problem because the dishes are separated from the sink because there's no way for the water to get from the dishes to the sink or from the sink to the dishes because the basin blocks them. He adds, just to be on the safe side, you should put the basin on a rack so the basin doesn't touch the sink either. And then he says you've gotten rid of he says you put it in a basin, that gets rid of all chashos, but to be extra careful, you put the basin on a rack, and then he says, and to be extra careful, you should kasher the sink in between fleshing and milking before you put the new rack in the new basin by running the hot water, the hottest it goes, and pouring it all over the sink quickly. Just be extra careful. Again, it's a different type of, hashkafa and psak in Yoredeya. Now, hashkafa of lotzeis mikol chash. And therefore, Ad HaYom HaZeh, okay, when I learned in Yuber Willing, his hashkafa was much more of a Rav Moshe hashkafa, as anyone is familiar with him and his Talmidim will recall, in Eretz Yisrael nowadays, in the Welt, the Michas Yitzchak hashkafa has won the day. Everyone can pick their own hashkafa. I'm not telling anyone what hashkafa they should adopt for themselves. But Lemaisa, these are the two main menhagim. The Rav Moshe nicks wash on a rack, and the Menachos Yitzchak nicks wash in a basin, and some of them even put the basin on a rack. I don't know how many really go all the way and put the basin on a rack and also try to kasher the sinks in between, but that's what he personally suggests. That's what he did in his house.
According to Rav Moshe on Pesach, what's he going to
No, Reb Moshe is talking about, No. Okay. Take this down a step. I'm sorry. Maybe I skipped a step. This whole kula of Reb Moshe is only talking about meat and milk. It's not talking about treif and not talking about Pesach. Why? For a simple reason. If you're talking about Pesach, once one spot became chametz stick, then whatever comes out of that spot is not far enough to Isura, and it's not batel b'shishim, and we don't take any chances on Pesach. For Pesach, for sure, Reb Moshe was not makel. He wasn't talking about treif, Pesach, he was talking about meat and milk. Why? Because if one spot becomes milchik, whatever comes out of that spot is not barnaf d'atera. If one spot becomes fleshik, whatever comes out is not barnaf d'atera. Only if it becomes milk and fleshik within 24 hours it's a problem, and that's unlikely. So this kula is restricted to basar b'chalav. Okay, halacha l'maisa, that is where the two different sheepas come from in using six.
Did you want to try the machmen like minchas yitzchak, but also make life a little bit more manageable? Could you poke holes in the bottom of your basin so that the water goes off and it's like you had your own little sink there, or would that create the possibility of water going back in the sink?
If you poked holes in the bottom of your basin, I think in general the people holding the pussy it's like have a basin without holes in it.
If it doesn't sit in the thing.
What?
Right. If it sits on top, there's a gap between the bottom of the bowl, whatever the plastic bowl, and the sink itself.
Ah, I mean it doesn't sit directly on the sink, and you can let the water drain out of a hole in the basin, right. Then it's not as inconvenient, only a little inconvenient. That doesn't seem to be exactly what he had in mind.
That's how they make them. They sell these inserts,
And the inserts have?
Have a draining hole.
Have a draining hole in them. Okay, so the truth is that would certainly make it more mahudr, for the simple reason that you don't have to worry about your kalim falling through the hole and touching your... you don't have to worry about your kalim falling through the hole and touching your sink anymore. Even though the water would go from your kalim onto the sink, but you don't have to worry about your kalim touching the sink anymore. And therefore, that would certainly be more mahudr than a rack, because your kalim can no longer... your kalim can no longer touch the sink.
The water's not coming from the sink back into the basin.
And the water's not coming from the sink back into the basin, correct. I mean, it's only going one direction. Right? Since it's only going one direction, then you would have less to worry about. So that would definitely be more more mahudr. Not as mahudr as what he has in mind, but definitely more mahudr. Okay.
Just one last point about this again, obviously it could be a big discussion. But it seems like the way we were framing this sort of hashkafic difference in Pesach, that Dayan Weiss, or he winds up being more machmir lemaisa, right? And it's sort of saying, well, we have these kashas, we don't really understand how to, and so that's not, the tircha is not sufficient reason to overcome that. But in an ironic way, it seems like those who are following the Derech of Rav Moshe are sort of placing more authority on the great poskim, the past, by saying, no, even if we don't fully understand it, these were giants, and if they came up with a reason, it must be that there's a real basis for it, that's the emet, and if it, unless there's really a compelling reason that for us to be mocked, okay. we should be made for.
You're making a very, very good ha'ara. But I'm gonna leave
I'm
it.
Just saying, I just wanna.
Yeah, you're making a very good ha'ara, but I'm gonna leave it at that because at a certain point it's going to get subtle and philosophical, and we're gonna get back to halacha. Okay, what we still have to figure out is first let me make another ha'ara about sinks, which is that. What's the most mahudr thing? The most mahudr thing, of course, step two sinks. You have a place you say milk sink, and you have no problem. Ideally, not like in Gruss, but, people in private houses have a place you get milk sinks and know which is which from year to year, and therefore can keep this, can have no problem. A place you get milk is milk sink, and never the twain shall meet. Or if they had metal sinks in Gruss, you can just kasher them between tenants, and then fleishik is fleishik, milk is milk, and never the twain shall meet. But someday will be zocha. Meanwhile, in Gruss, even though you have two sinks, it's not that much better, because you don't know which one was milk and which one was fleishik. Last year.
Find out everyone who's in the apartment.
What? No. Yeah. So I thought we should make a tikkun in Gruss. I thought someone should, maybe take up this challenge. Label the sinks meat and milk with you know, sort of glued on, heavy duty glued on little tags that can't be, that can't fall off. And therefore, what's the point? Who cares? Therefore, after a year, the milk one will only be used for milk, the meat one will only be used for meat, and any bleas from before when people might have mixed it up the wrong way will already be 12 months old. Rav Moshe has a famous kula that once, which we'll get to in the Prima Gadin, in Simen Kof Gimel, that after 12 months, if you don't have the ability to replace something, you can ignore the bleos and assume that they disappeared. So, if someone wants to make a new, wants to make a new project to label all the sinks minimums from now on, and that means in 12 months from now, the meat sink will only have meat bleos. The milk sink will only have milk bleos, based on the kula of the Chafetzim or Moshe, and then we can be, then we can be Mako. But someone has to be willing to take that challenge, because I know people come in during the summer, this, that, but all the people who come in to campus are Orthodox people who would keep the milk in the milk sink, the meat in the sink. If there was a label, they don't have Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, and they can't tell which is supposed to be which. So okay, someone should take up that gauntlet. Now, what? No, that already costs a lot of money. That's
it only helps for people like Rav Moshe, and they only need to use racks already. So.
No, then you can be tsarif kulas, and okay, vital. Now, before we get onto dishwashers, we have to do another sif. So let us continue. Before we do another sif, we have to finish this sif. So let's do the end of sif gimel. What's the very end of sif gimel? The end of Sif Gimel is a very common thing. The Ninsa Karacho Leves Dain Kli Basar. If you find a Milchik Kli in the middle of the Fleshik Kalim, or vice versa, this happens all the time. You open up your silverware drawer and you find a Milchik spoon with a Fleshik spoons, or a Milchik plate with a Fleshik plate, or if you have two drain boards, milk and meat, you find a Milchik Kli in the Fleshik drain board, or vice versa. So, Lochai Shinish Mahutu Biyachab Dershin Asarim. We don't have to worry. What would your worry be? I found the Milchik spoon in the Fleshik drawer. Maybe it was washed with the Fleshik spoons and became treif. Says the Rama, you don't have to worry about it. Nope, it's kosher. Just put it back in the right drawer. You don't have to worry. He's not talking about where you know what happened. You don't know what happened. You just find it in the wrong part of your kitchen. You don't have to worry. You can assume someone just put it in the wrong drawer, not that they actually mixed it with meat. Why don't you have to worry? Maybe they washed it with the meat dishes in a way that it became treif. So, here you have two slightly different formulations. If you look at the Taz, says the Taz, the Be'etzer v'heter kasav, yodalad, afilim regilim also by the kli rishon, even if that house they always wash dishes in the kli rishon, agav, I might point out something just from here a little earlier. This is all talking about if you wash your dishes in hot water. If someone would wash the dishes in cold water, cold defined as below yatsa lettuce bow, then none of these problems would come up, because of course there's no bliya. Right? So let's say someone had only one sink and they wanted to avoid problems, they could just wash all their dishes in cool water and not have this any problems. The only reason why it's not so practical is A, your dishes don't get as clean, and some people would say that it's not hygienic enough, and B, it's hard to remember always exactly what temperature to wash your dishes at.
Most people do not wash their dishes in my Motchin. Impossible.
Just doesn't work for in your hand.
Well, first of all, I know a lot of people who wear gloves to wash dishes because they use very hot water. And
most people do not wear gloves. Most people do not use boiling water. And therefore, most people, there shouldn't be any problem.
Okay, so if most people don't use...
The only problem is if you turn on the hot water all the way, and you just have these things in the sink, and then you run them. So that's the problem.
Okay, so Zed points out that he thinks most people, I can't argue how most people do. Let's go look. Perhaps most people don't use hot water to wash dishes. I'm not so sure, because some people, they can handle very hot water, because they've been washing dishes for many years.
What does that mean? What is, going back to the Hilchos Shabbos, what is
Rotacha? It means Yatzer Lettuce, but we're
burnt.
No.
You don't get that?
No. That's Yad Nechvexbo.
What's Yad Lutah?
Yad Suletisbo means that if you touched it, your hand would retract.
And that's how you wash dishes. Your hand keep retracting. It doesn't work that way.
So some people have tough hands, and some people steal themselves, and some people wear gloves, or even if they wash dishes in comfortable water, often in getting to the comfortable water, they make it a little hot, a little cold, and sometimes before they get to where it's comfortable, right, right, you turn it on, and you feel it, oh, too hot, so you move it a little. Hold on, but meanwhile, it's been hot. So it's not so poshut, but I saw once, when I had my first kid, I don't know if anyone's, okay, some people in this parsha, when you have your first kid, you're very worried about all these safety issues and all these things the experts say, etc. Chashal, even if you have your 20th kid, you still be worried about actual safety. But I mean, like, all the things that anyone's choshish for, you know, like the, you know, but that's a charedis of safety, that they say you shouldn't do anything because it's a chash rachok and etc., etc. So, you know, when you have your first kid, you're worried about this. So I remember one book said, everyone should set their boiler in their house to below Yad Soledis Bo, because otherwise, Chas V'Shalom, the kid turns it on all the way hot, they could get burned. Okay, so I didn't do that.
What?
No, it could be below Yad Soledis Bo and still a comfortable shower. I mean, let's say you set it to 100, 105 says the, in Fahrenheit, or 40. 40 says the Shmir Shabbos. You can have a very nice shower in 40, not a boiling hot shower, you can have a nice shower in 40 degree water. So okay, if someone wants to do that, let's say they set their boiler to below Yad Soledis Bo, then they can use their hot water on Shabbos, and they can wash the dishes however they want, and they don't have to worry about anything. And they're yotzei all the safety gurus. What? So if someone wants to, they can do that, just set it to 40 if they're in Israel, or 105 if they're in America. Says Shmir Shabbos, the Chassid says you're okay. And then you can be on the safe side. But if you don't do that, then even if you wash dishes in comfortable water, half the time it's too hot and you make it cooler, half the time it's too cold, you make it warmer, meaning half the time you first let hot water go. So it's not so pashut. Okay, so says the Taz here, quoting the Yisbehater, even if you always wash dishes in a Kli Rishon, or nowadays you would say you always wash them in boiling hot water, it's still okay. Why? Mutar mikos fake sveika, safek shema lo hutchu imam, tam shalom hutchu shema lo haisa bas yoma. Maybe it wasn't washed with fleishik dishes in the first place. It was just put in the fleishik drawer. And even if it was washed with fleishik dishes, maybe the fleishik dishes weren't ben yomo and didn't have enough schmutz on them. And, you know, maybe the fleishik dishes did not have enough. They weren't ben yomo and they didn't have schmutz that was more than a 60th of the water. And they didn't answer the milchik fork. So everybody says fake fake up. Maybe it was washed with them, maybe not. Even if it was washed with them, maybe it was washed with them and they made it fleishik. Maybe it was washed with them and they didn't make it fleishik, based on everything we saw in the first half of this if, and therefore it's mutter. The Gra goes even further.
That's a very problematic fix fake in the second part.
Okay. The Gra goes even further. Says the grunts have gotten chav gimel to lo masakin and isura kamoshikasa kamosh amru perkam denida damrinan hash dehudendafal hagosher durva. Oh, the fake fake is reta arach. The Isra Heter says Sveik Sveika. The Gra says more than Sveik Sveika. It's a principle, lo mechazkina nisura. We're not machzik in Isra. What does that mean? If we see something in a compromising situation, we assume, he gets this from Taros, from Maseches Nida, we don't assume it was in the compromising situation a long time ago. We assume, no, it only got into the compromising situation now. That's a principle, right? If you find, let's say, a dead mouse, right? You find a, you ladle water in a bucket, and you find a dead mouse in the water. You don't assume everything you ladled for the last week has all been tumed by the dead mouse. You assume only now the dead mouse came into your bucket. That's Lomachat's Kinan Isura. We don't assume that the Isra was retroactively there forever. We assume it just came now. Likewise, you find a milchik spoon in your fleishik drawer. You don't know when did the milchik spoon join the fleishik dishes. In the drawer or in the sink? You don't know. It's one suffix. It says, this is one suffix that's a kula, because the rule of Chazanah. You assume the milchik spoon did not join the fleishik spoons until recently. The milchik spoon started separate from the fleishik spoons. Assume it was still not with the fleishik spoons until recently, so it only joined them in the drawer, not in the sink. So that's two different svaras. Either it's a fake sake, or the Gra says you don't need a fake sake. I mean, it's not the Gran the Taz, the Yisra Hachin, the Shagol Sherry Dur. He says, it's a rule of Chazakah. The rules of Chazakah are that if you find something in a problematic place, you don't assume it was there forever, you assume it only got there now. And that's true, in Hachas Nida we say this, etc. This is a principle that we say in Kol HaTorah Kula. Again, I'm not talking about the first mission in Nida, that's a special Xera. I'm talking about the principles. Okay, Halach L'maisa, therefore, if you do find something in the wrong dream board, in the wrong drawer, etc., we assume that it's okay, whether because it's fake, or whether because lo machaskim yisura. Now, before we pass in a lot of modern day shailas, okay, one point I have to point out. The most mahudr things have two sinks. There's only one thing not mahudr about two sinks, some of the modern day rabbis point out. And that is, a lot of people have two sinks next to each other. Two sinks next to each other. Not like people with fancy houses. People with fancy houses have like a milchik side and a fleishik side and v'chuli. That's talking about like in America. You know, but let's say a lot of people have small kitchens. They have two sinks, but it's two sinks next to each other. So let's say you have two sinks next to each other and they're metal and you kasher them, you make one milchik, one fleishik, or they're porcelain, but you bought them, you're the first one who bought them and you inherited them from a frum yid and he told you this one's milchik, this one's fleishik, and you're okay. What problem could you have davka with two sinks? So the problem is, exactly, they point out that with two sinks you can have an even bigger problem than one sink sometimes. Why? With one sink, you wipe away all the meat before you wash milchik. You wipe away all the milchik before you wash fleishik. With two sinks, what could happen if you're lazy? Some people are not lazy. As soon as they make dishes dirty, they wash them. Okay, some people are lazy. I'll be the example. I'm a very lazy person. What happens when I have milchik dishes? I pile them in the milchik sink. What happens when I have fleishik dishes? I pile them in the fleishik sink. What happens when I have more milchik dishes? I pile them higher. And I pile them higher. And then eventually when one of them reaches the ceiling, I wash the dishes. So what could happen in this case? What could happen in this case is very pashut. Let us say that here's my two sinks, right? Bisari and Chalavi. Those English letters, and M is confusing. M and D, but still the M is confusing. So what can happen? Here I have my fleishik dishes. Not just fleishik dishes. Fleishik dishes with meat on them. What happens? The water goes, picks up a little piece of meat from this fleishik dish, and splashes it into the milchik sink.
It's already, I'm going for a Moshe Pshah and a Shaft.
No, 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 here's a bigger problem. I'm not talking about the blita. It actually takes the piece of meat and splashes it into the milchik sink. You can end up with a piece of meat in your on your milchik dishes. And you can end up with a piece of cheese on your fleishik dishes. Let's say here's a dish. All of a sudden, your milchik dish has a little piece of meat on it that's splashed. Hold on a second. Once that little piece of meat splashed, you're right. I'm not worried about the blia. Even if you don't hold like Ramosha, by the time it splashes from one side of the thing to the other side of the sink, it's for sure going to be cold. But forget about the blia. What if a little piece of meat will splash, and a little piece of cheese will splash? And then when you run the hot water over here, you've run your hot water on a piece of meat on a milchik dish and made a treif.
But if it's so little that it's going to splash, presumably it's going to be bata?
Presumably, but perhaps presumably.
But you put the liquid on the soap on, it's not really like
I know, but you usually turn on the water before you put the soap on.
No, you wash. If you're washing out the fleishik, you're putting soap on it.
No, no, first you run the water and then you start with your sponge. So, Ellie does have a good point, it's probably bata b'shishim. Right, and we can also say a different kind of lo machaskin yisura. We're not going to assume this happened if we didn't see it happen. But still, it could be that it's not the most lechachila to have that situation. And therefore, what a lot of people do in Israel is they have a little divider between the milchik and fleishik sink that goes higher than the counter level, like a mechitza, that prevents splashes. So, if one wanted to be on the safe side, I'm not saying the Ikar did this makes a treif. A, as Ellie said, whatever's small enough to splash is probably bottle b'shish into the stream of water. B, we don't assume something splashed unless we saw that it splashed. But it would certainly be a proper hinder to either build a mechitza between your two sinks, or if you don't have that, to, I guess, make sure that, I don't know, someone can buy it. If the way they wash dishes, they never see it splashes, then they're okay. If the way they wash dishes, they do see it splashing, let's say they're like me, they let it pile up so high that it can easily splash the wrong side, then they should either build a mechitza, or what I used to do when I had two sinks like this in America is I just took like an old broken cutting board, put it over one sink, and when I wash the dish in the fleishik sink, I cover the milchik sink. When I wash the dish in the milchik sink, I cover the fleishik sink. I actually saw that lots of schmutz got on it, so it was a good thing I did it. So, I wouldn't make your dishes treif if you didn't do this, but certainly, lechachila, if you let your dishes pile up and you see there's a lot of splashing, then you should either have mechitza or just have a board covering whichever sink you're not using at the moment.
So that's what I'm saying. I eat often at someone's house, they have a metal board that covers the other sink.
So you, when you wash your hands, the other sink is completely covered.
Yes, they have that to prevent splashing. Very good. Okay, now let's go to Sif Dalet. Modern day, before we get to another big modern day Shaila, we have to do Sif Dalet. Says the Mechaber about dishwashing. Yay, royally, it seems to me, says the Mechaber, Shem Nosnu Efer, Ellie, when you have a chance, B'mayim Chamin, Shebiyorah, Kodesh Nifat Yer Kusokhan, if you put ashes, remember in those days they used ashes as detergent, if you put ashes in the hot water before you put the dishes in, Afu Shashuan Dongwen, even if you have meat schmutz and milk schmutz with meat kalim and milk kalim and all the schmutz on all the kalim, if you have ashes in the water, it's mutter, dalidea efer nos tam lif gam, it's mutter, because through the ashes, whatever tam goes through the water is tam lif gam. That's the famous kul of the Mechaber. If you put soap in the water, then any tam that goes through that water will be tam lif gam. Why? The milk schmutz dissolves in the water, but it mixes with soap, it's pugum. The little bit of meat, the tam of the meat goes into the water. The tam of the meat that goes into the water mixes with soap, so it's pugum, and tam lefgam cannot make anything treif. And therefore, if you have soap in the water, nothing will ever become milchik, nothing will ever become fleishik, nothing will ever become treif, and shalom al Yisrael. A lot of people misunderstand this, Mechaber, according to the mainstream understanding of Echronim. Some people misunderstand this Mechaber. The Mechaber doesn't mean, this is clear in the later poskim, or at least the vast majority, he doesn't mean that, let's say I wash a spoon in soapy hot water, all the taste in that spoon becomes pugum. No, maybe the soap doesn't go into the spoon. He doesn't mean that if I put an apple in hot soapy water, the apple becomes pugum. No, who says the soap gets into the apple? He doesn't mean whatever you put in soapy water becomes pugum. What he means is, whatever tam is going through the water becomes pugum. The apple might still have a good taste. If I dip a salami in hot soapy water and take it out, the salami might still have a good taste. He just means whatever taste of the salami went into the water is pugum. Because taste in soapy water becomes pugum taste. So if I, again, if I put a spoon into hot soapy water, the spoon might still have tam l'shvach inside it. If I put a salami in hot soapy water, the salami still has tam l'shvach inside it. But whatever goes through the water is pugum, because the water is soapy water, and any taste in soapy water is called tam lifgam. That's the kula of the Mechaber. This is controversial. The Shach disagrees with this kula, and the Taz disagrees with this kula, and the Gra disagrees with this kula. They say not true. The tam in soapy water is not considered tam lifgam. Okay, exactly why? They're not 100% clear. Like, we all know soapy water is pretty pugum. Yeah. I guess what they think is that even if the water is soapy, there could still be a good, meaning it's a matter of how you conceptualize it. Lani is daiti. The Mechaber says, any taste in soapy water is pugum because it's mixed with soap. The Shach would say, no. If there's soapy water which has meat and taste and soap, the meat tastes as good, the soap is bad. Even though in the end the water tastes bad, you can look at the meat taste separate from the soap and say it's still good. That's what the Shach seems to say.
How would you ever have a pugum taste?
If the meat itself spoiled.
Okay.
So, here we have ta'am in soapy water. Mechaber says this is called nosing ta'am lifgam. The Shach and the Taz and the Gra disagree and say it's called nosing ta'am lishvach, even though it seems to be a finish. How can it be a good taste? Let's say you put salami and milchik dishes, right, in soapy water. So the taste of the salami goes through the water into the dishes. What do you mean? Isn't that going to be disgusting? No, they say the soap might be disgusting, but the salami taste is still good. All you have to do is filter out the soap and the salami taste is still good. That's the chumra, the Shach and Taz and the Gra. There is a compromise shita. The Pesachei Tshuva says, I think on his own, if I'm not mistaken, in Sifkat and Vav, yeah. The Pesachei Tshuva says that he says, if there's treif, then it would be usser. But if it's bas b'cholov, then it's mutter, because the soap slightly ruins the taste, and that's enough to not be called derech bishul. So he says, Be'isurin aser, be'basar be'chalav, mutter. What does he mean by this? If you have meat and milk in soapy water, then it weakens the meat and milk taste enough that it's like a weak taste of tera, which is mutter. If you have treif kalim and kosher kalim in soapy water, then it, even though it weakens it, it's like not pronounced isura, it's like a weak taste of iser and usser. Halacha lemaisa, all the later achronim paskin like the mechaber. Surprisingly, the later achronim paskin like the mechaber here, and the Chacham Tzvi even says, everyone would agree with soap, it's usser. They were only arguing about ashes. But everyone agrees with soap, it's disgusting. Halacha lemaisa, we paskin like the mechaber against the nosei kalim here.
Chacham Tzvi was before the grah.
What?
He was before the
grah. Okay. That's fine.
You see in the grah, even with whatever soap the Chacham Tzvi knew, the grah was the new
one. Yeah, so maybe the grah would also admit that with soap it's okay. He was only offering ashes. Who knows? There's a raya here. the raya the Shach says is that there's a Tosfos Daf Kuf who says, how did they kasher the pot that were ben yomo midoraisa? After all, when you kasher ben yomo pot, the taste goes into the water, makes the water usser, then it goes back and makes the pot usser. So how do they kasher ben yomo pot? Nowadays, how do we solve that problem? We only kasher pots that aren't ben yomo. So the taste goes into the water, it doesn't make a treif. But midoraisa, you only have the kasher ben yomo pot. When the Torah said kasher ben yomo pot, it would make the water treif, would go back and make the pot treif. Okay, so tell us the whole deal. So the Shach says, why didn't they just suggest putting soap in the water? And then it couldn't make anything treif because it would be tam lefgam. So that shows soap doesn't help. Okay, so the Pesach Shiva say, maybe soap helps for bas b'chalo. They were talking about treif kalim in the Torah. But the other Achronim say, no, Tosfos just meant that the Torah was talking about water and not soap, and they wanted to know how to do it with plain water. In a Hanami, you could always kasher things with soap. The Torah, though, is talking about kashering in water. So again, Tosfos didn't mention the option of kashering with soap. The Shach of the Taz that a diuk that soap doesn't make it pogum. The later Achronim say no. Tosfos doesn't mention the option of soap because the Torah said you kasher in water. So they were discussing what the Torah said, which was pure water. Halacha lemaisa we paskin like the Shach. Therefore, you should know this is used by kashrus agencies. What happens if a kashrus agency? What? Like the mechaber. Sorry. What happens if a kashrus agency needs the kasher kli that's ben yomo? Let's say someone's making a simcha in a hotel, and it turns out they have to kasher the kalim, but they're ben yomo. Or let's say someone's turning over a factory and they're under time pressure and they have to kasher the factory. It's ben yomo. How do you kasher a ben yomo factory? After all, you fill it with boiling water, the treif taste goes into the water, makes the water treif, and then goes back and makes the kalim treif. So what do kashrus agencies do b'shas hadchak? L'chachila, we don't like to rely on this. L'chachila, better do things, without relying on kulas. B'shas hadchak, what do the kashrus agencies do? They put bleach or soap in the water to make any taste in the water pogum, and then they kasher, the treif taste goes into the water, becomes pogum, and then can't go back and treif up the kalim because it's a tam lefgam. That's what kashrus agencies do, and they need to kasher a kli that's ben yomo, that has tam l'shvach. They just put soap or bleach in the water and turn it into a tam l'fgam. Maisim b'chol yom.
That's only a cooler if you're following the gra and the shach and the tam.
Even according to the mechaber, doesn't say you should do this l'chatchila. Never they say we only do it b'shas hadchak. Okay. Yes.
I thought I saw in one of the Mishnayot that the reason why you're allowed to kasher something ben yomo even without soap is that the percentage of the end that comes out.
No, that's only if you kasher it twice. That's what Tosa said. If you don't hold from Hanan, you can kasher it twice. Why? Let's say the amount of water is 10 times the volume of the pot. When you kasher it the first time, it becomes a tenth treif. If there's no Hanan. This is actually Tosa's proof that there's no Hanan. And then, it goes back and makes the pot a tenth treif. Then when you kasher it again, a tenth of the pot to 10 times as much water is 1/100th and it's bottled. So you have to kasher it twice. And that was the original concept of Tosa. Tosa says, according to Ben Ephraim, there's no Hanan Mishari Surah, it works well, kasher it twice. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, this Hanan Mishari Surah, each time it's all treif and it doesn't work, and that was a kash on Rabbeinu Tam. Very good. So, this affects modern day shailas in two ways. Number one, what if you mamish washed the wrong dish in the wrong sink and you know you did it? Not that you find a fleishik spoon in the milk drawer. You find a fleishik spoon in your hand under the hot water while you're washing it in the milchik sink. What about that case? You know you washed something in the wrong sink with the wrong sponge, etc. So, if you wash something with the wrong sponge, then it's mutter b'di'eved, because you always put soap in the sponge before you wash things. So whatever taste was in that sponge went through the soap and became pugum and didn't answer your spoon. Obviously, it's b'di'eved l'chachil, we don't mix a tam l'fgam. But b'di'eved, let's say I just washed a milchik plate with a fleishik sponge in boiling water. We say, the tam of the fleishik sponge is no problem, because it all went through the soap and became tam l'fgam. Of course, if you wash your milchik sink, I mean, you have to be careful. If you find your milchik dish in the fleishik sink with bits of meat with boiling water, then it's a problem, because the bits of meat gave their taste in. And there was not necessarily soap. But if the only problem is the sponge, then it's not going to be a problem because the sponge has soap.
Because it is better like something in the sponge, and then you put soap in and then you wash it.
Doesn't matter, because whatever's in the... I think even whatever's the end in the sponge will be floating in the water, and whatever taste comes out of it will be pugged by the soap in the water. So that's what we assume. Rabbi Willig always says, if you do this, you wash the wrong dishes with the wrong sponge, he says, you should get a new sponge. The dish is kosher, the sponge is trade. Why is he mocking on the sponge? A, because, like, sponges are very cheap and you should ask for something. Shouldn't be, like, totally get off scot-free. But also because, you know what? Who knows what's hiding in the little holes of the sponge, and you don't want l'chatchila to use a sponge that might have all kinds of an hiding inside it. So that's his minhag. But the strict din is, if you wash the wrong thing with the wrong sponge and there was soap in the sponge, then it's kosher because the soap makes it a tam l'fgam. Now, let's see if we have time for one more big machlokas before we call it a day, which is, what about dishwashers for meat and milk? Again, we're not talking about putting meat and milk dishes in the dishwasher at the same time. No one would ever do that. Talking about you put meat dishes in one run, and then you put milk dishes in a different run.
Different rinse.
Good question. So this is another famous machlokas aposkim. Rav Moshe is Mekel. Why is Rav Moshe Mekel? Rav Moshe says dishwashers are always parif.
With basar v'chalav or trei also?
No, only basar v'chalav. You'll see why. Says Rav Moshe, and then you'll see why Rav Moshe is irrelevant. But, correct, but irrelevant. Moshe says you can do milk and fleish in the same dishwasher. It's not chashol the same time. Who would do that? Different times. In the old days, there are some people who had one dishwasher. They did a milchik run and they did a fleishik run. And in Yisrael, there are still some people who do that. Not because of Rav Moshe, because of Rav Avadya. But says Rav Moshe, what happens when you run fleishik dishes in the dishwasher? Fleishik dishes in the dishwasher. Let's say if you run with bisari dishes, what will happen to the dishwasher? Will it become bisari because of the dishes, and will it become bisari because of the schmutz? Right? Because of the dishes, can the dishes make the dishwasher fleishik? No, because what's the tam that comes out of the dishes? Nafar not de teira. Remember, treif this wouldn't help for. That would be nafar not de isura. That because of the dishes, it's nafar not de teira equals the dishwasher is still parif. Right. Again, this doesn't help for a treif dishwasher. Treif dishwasher, not parif, not disur, the dishwasher is treif. Only talking about a kosher dishwasher for meat and milk. What about because of the schmutz? Right? After all, if the schmutz goes into the dishwasher, then the dishwasher is a first taste of meat. Then it'll be fleishik. Says Rav Moshe, you know what happens to the schmutz? Says Rav Moshe, batel b'shishim in the water equals still parif. Rav Moshe says the schmutz in the bishishim in the water. Look how much water is in a dishwasher. Look how little schmutz is on the dishes, even if they're dirty dishes. Batel bishishim, okay. So he says, your dishwasher is always parif. The schmutz is batel bishishim, and the dishes aren't batel bishishim, but the time from the dishes is not for not to teira. What is Rav Moshe's one compromise? He says, but you need new racks. Not new racks, different racks for meat and milk. Why do you need different racks for meat and milk? Because there might be be'en that gets stuck on the rack in between the meat and milk. So we're forced in a safer art school book says, hold on a second, why do you think there's be'en stuck on the racks? My racks always look clean. After all, if the dishwasher cleans the dishes, it cleans the racks also. So he says, sarhi on that, Rav Moshe. Right? After all, why should the racks be dirty? They just went through a dishwasher. But, says Rav Moshe, but you need separate racks because the N might get stuck on the rack. And you understand, let's say a piece of cheese gets stuck to the rack and then you put a fleishig dish, then what are you? You'll have a fleishig dish cooking blood next to a piece of cheese. That'll be a problem.
The egg goes on the rack and it cooks into the rack. The rack becomes a fleishig and like a fleishig and pop.
Then no, because the end is bottled with shishim. It can't make the racks fleishig. That's not what it is.
Is that matos l'chachirola?
So he says, this is not called mevatel iser l'chilim. It's a good question. It's not mevatel iser l'chilim means you put less than a 60th meat into milk, or less than a 60th milk into meat. Here, what you're putting is less than a 60th meat into parif. And then tomorrow, less than a 60th milk into parif. That's not called bitel iser l'chilim. You're right, it looks similar to it. Mixing milk and parif and meat and parif is not bitel iser l'chilim. Only mixing meat and milk is bitel iser l'chilim.
Why does Rav Moshe see that a dishwasher is more common than the sink? On the sink, he said that you were klirishon, therefore the whole thing. You didn't have to come to the svara about the shuk.
No,
has the dishwasher any different?
No, he has a. It's not that he has to come. He has a better svara here. It's an easier svara here. This svara is better. Maybe the sink svara would also apply, but this is better. It's also. It's not clear to me how he understood the dishwashers worked or how dishwashers worked back in the '60s. The problem with this Rav Moshe is that it's irrelevant. Anyone ever owned a dishwasher? Or your mother owned a dishwasher when you were a bacher at home. How much water is in the dishwasher nowadays? I know, Rav Moshe was before environmentalism, before conservationism, before a lot of things. Right? In Rav Moshe's days, when I was a kid in New York, did you have to pay per cubic meter of water you used, or you just used however much you wanted? Who grew up in New York? When I grew up in New York, you didn't have a water meter. You paid a tax to the city and used as much water as you liked. In the city, at least.
Yeah, isn't that still the case?
I'm not sure. There was unlimited. No one conserved water. Nowadays, it's very different. You're not supposed to waste water. In America, they waste more water than in Israel. But still, you're not supposed to waste water. Anyone know how much water is in our modern-day dishwashers?
There is no water.
No, sure, there's some. Something has to wash.
No, it's spray.
A couple of liters. You know how our dishwashers work? If here is the door of the dishwasher, and here is the sort of panel, and here's the floor. It's not really tilted. That's just my dyslexia. Right? You know what? Where the water is? There's no water behind the door. If you open the door, in the middle, it spritzes at you for a second, but it doesn't come flooding out. You know where there's water? There's a little pit here, full of like maybe a gallon and a half of water. That's it. A little pit below the door. If you open your dishwasher, if you go slowly to the dishwasher, you open the door of the dishwasher, you see there's a floor. On that floor, there's a little pit. That pit is what fills with water, a couple of liters of water. How do you wash your dishes in a couple of liters of water? With technology. What they do is they have a pump that takes this couple liters of water and spritzes it really hard all over all the dishes so that it power washes them. Then it falls down and it spritzes it again. It spritzes that same couple liters of water 100 times. That's how it gets your dishes real. It's as if your dishes were power washed with 100 liters of water. But it's really only a few liters. It just spritzes it again and again and again to save water. Our modern day dishwashers, I'm not saying Rav Moshe's wrong. Chas v'shalom. Rav Moshe had different dishwashers. I have no idea what his dishwashers look like. If you read his tshuvas, you get the impression they work differently than 21st century dishwashers, which would be mistaber.
You're saying so, he just kept bringing new water in?
Maybe his dishwashers had, he said his dishwashers have dozens of gallons of water in them at the same time. They're full of lots of water. Okay, I don't know how his dishwasher works. Our dishwashers have only a little water. For sure the schmutz is not batel b'shishim. Rav Moshe's heter is not going to work for our modern day dishwashers, I'm sorry to say. Rav Moshe's heter is not going to work for our modern day dishwashers. Ah, so what heter does work? So Rav Avadya mipi Shmua, that he said in a shir once that was published by the Talmidim, and that was written up famously in the 9th volume of Tchumen. Whoever doesn't know what Tchumen is should find out. The 9th volume of Tchumen, the rabbi of my town, Gideon Perel, wrote an article where he said you can use the same dishwasher for meat and milk based on Rav Avadya. What does he mean by this? It says Rav Avadya, it's not in the Abiyah Omer, but it's in a shir he gave that was printed. It's legit. It says Rav Avadya, he is a different heter. What's his heter? As far as the dishes go, that's no problem. That's not for not that taber. Notice, both Rav Moshe and Rav Avadya only work for kosher meat and milk. Not going to help you for Treif dishwashers. Starbucks has Treif dishwashers. That's going to be a problem, perhaps. I mean, depending on how industrial dishwashers work, that's actually a big deal. If you go to a house with Treif, the dishwasher is going to be Treif. The dishes cannot make it. Fleishik is not pronounced at Tera. How about because of the schmutz? Says Ravadia, I have a better heter, which Ramosha mentioned once. Agav Orcha was not his main point. Ravadia says a better heter. In the dishwasher, it's full of soap. Remember, there's a little water down here. Anyone remember how you load a dishwasher? You have like a compartment with soap behind a door and a compartment with soap without a door. As soon as you close the door, through gravity, the soap falls down into this pit. As soon as the hot water goes into this pit, or the water gets cold water goes into this pit and gets heated, the water is mixed with soap. The water is always mixed with soap. Whatever schmutz goes into the water is nosing tam lefgam because the water has soap in it. Therefore, it is nosing tam lefgam. Ah, the tablet dishwashers is not going to help for it because then you only have it behind the door.
What's that? No, only when they get very hot, does it? Dissolve the tablet.
The tablet dishwashers are problematic. Use a soap tablet instead of powder or liquid. But if you use soap powder, like Ravadia says, okay, let's just finish this sentence. Can we finish this sentence?
Continue. Carry on.
He says the soap makes it all no same time with gum. And if it's no same time with gum, then the dishwasher is still powdered. Oh, someone will ask, doesn't the dishwasher run three or four cycles? The first cycle has soap. The second cycle has soap. Doesn't the third and fourth cycle not have soap anymore? So answer Ravadia. By the third and fourth cycle, there's no schmutz left anymore. By the third and fourth cycle, there's an infinitesimal amount of schmutz. That's nothing. And that's for sure buckle to anything. So he said, Mimonoshach, the first cycles have the N, but have soap, so it's no satam of gam. The last cycles have no soap, but they have no be'en, so it's not for not to etera, and therefore your dishwasher is always powered. You can use a dishwasher for meat and milk. Shalom al Yisrael. What? No, same racks. He's not worried about Moshe's shop. And we're not talking about Pesach. Pesach, you don't have not for not to etera. Pesach, we assume, is not for not to Yisura. It's not going to help us. Oh, no, okay. That depends whether Pesach is etera or Yisura, not for not of Pesach, which we're not getting into now. Okay. This Ravadia sounds like a really good svara, no? Yeah, sounds like an excellent svara.
What?
It goes down the drain.
Doesn't the water go down the drain?
Yeah.
Because the same water is there.
No. First the schmutz goes into the water with the soap. And the tam of gam gets power washed. Then, at the end of the first cycle, it all goes down the drain and it gets new water that has no soap but also has no ban. So it's no problem. Ravadia's brilliant. Why are people machmer against Ravadia? And maybe with this we'll end. There are two main times, if you look at the articles in Tum and Izirax, you can take it home and read it over Shabbos. There are two main times people don't like Ravadia, and they are as follows. What are the problems with Ravadia? Number one, no same tam lefgam is aser lechatchila. They say, you know, Bidi Edmund, you're right, Ravadia. If someone lies on you, I'll eat in their house. But no sound of gam, you rely on Bidi Edmund. You're not supposed to lechatchila use a tam lefgam. I know b'shas hadchak sometimes people do, but you're not supposed to lechatchila build your life by using nosen tam lefgam. That's a bidi evet kula, not a lechatchila kula. Ravadia says, no. Nosen tam lefgam, usually you shouldn't use lechatchila because you might get confused. But in dishwashers, if there's something that the standard way it works nosen tam lefgam, then you don't have to worry lechatchila. So Ravadia's big chiddush is not that it's kosher. That seems to be a very good point. His chiddush that even lechatchila it's okay, and we don't say that they exer to asr lechatchila. He says, even if normally you shouldn't rely on nosen tam lefgam lechatchila, since dishwashers are a set kind of contraption that always works well and will never get you into a halachic problem, it's mutter even lechatchila. So that's the controversial part, which is why most people don't rely on the Ravadia. The second reason they don't rely on the Ravadia is because sometimes food gets stuck in the filter. There's a filter. Where does all the schmutz go? It goes down the drain. What about big pieces that would clog your drain? So it grinds them up so it goes down the drain. It has like a little garbage disposal. What about big pieces that don't get ground up? They get caught in a filter so they won't clog your drain. So what does he say? What did you say? Maybe even in the last run when there's no soap, you think there's no ba'en in the last run? Maybe there is ba'en that got stuck in the filter. Maybe there's meat ba'en that got stuck in the filter and will go through 80 runs of milk and meat. If there's ba'en that got stuck in the filter, maybe that ba'en will get stuck in the filter even in the runs where there's no soap. And then it will make the water directly fleshic, and trafe up your milchi kalim. So now this is the mitzvah thing. I check my filter a few times. Once I got a chicken bone stuck in there. It's not so pusha if chicken bones have tam or not. If bones have tam or not. So it's not so pusha. My filter works pretty well. The only thing I've ever found there is that little plastic sticker that says meat and milk that came off a kli in the wash and got stuck in the filter because it just went round and round between the two parts of the grate. And once a chicken bone in all my years. And bones might not even have tam. So it's not so posh. Lemaise of the minhag in our circles is not to rely on Rav Avadya for these two reasons. A, because we're worried about the filters, which may or may not be chash, maybe you should examine each dishwasher separately. B, because we say, nosen tam lefgam is something to rely on b'di eved, not something to build your lifestyle on lechatchila. And therefore, our minhag is not to do it. However, those who do follow Rav Avadya have a lot to rely on. What?
Is it mostly Sephardim?
I don't know. A lot of Ashkenazim do also, because the Ashkenazi rabbi Yalom Shvat wrote this article in 25 years ago, Clement Tet. They put out Lamed Aleph 25 years ago, where he said it's okay for Ashkenazim also. Anyway, Rav Avadya said it, but it wasn't specifically based on Sephardim minhag. So, those who do it have a lot to rely on. However, the mainstream minhag in our circles is not to, maybe because of the filter, and for sure because we say you don't rely on soap lechatchila. The whole soap, mechaber was b'dieved, not lechatchila. And therefore, we don't rely on this, but there's a big makom lahakel for those who do. Okay, we'll stop now. I'll point out a psak of Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig says, since me'ikar adin, there's room to be naked even in meat and milk, you can for sure do a parav run in your dishwasher. If you have a fleshic dishwasher, you could do an all parav run and not worry about your parav dishes fleshic. Because even if it did make your parav dishes fleshic, you'd not burn out anyway. It wouldn't be a problem. So he said, for sure you're allowed to do a parav run in the dishwasher if you have enough parav kalim, but we wouldn't do a milchik run in our fleshic dishwasher. It's not crazy.